welcome to the Fairy Diddy Men's Grotto in Doddy's Departmental Store. We all know Mr. D, he's part mental. And here he comes. Here he comes. Ken Dodd.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to say what a great honour it is. What a great honour it is for me to have been invited here today to unveil this magnificent 20-foot marble statue of a nude sausage. What a great personal honour it is to have been asked to do this at the express wish of the BBC chairman, Mao Tsai Hill. We've got a very unusual show for you today. Later on, Graham Stark will be singing the follow-up to I Left My Heart in San Francisco. It's called I Found My Kidneys on Clapham Copham. And I think we should all congratulate our very own Patricia Hayes. Pat has just returned with our trade mission from Moscow, where she was a great success modelling concrete gnomes for rockeries.
Ah, my bonnie wee laddie.
Vanessa Redgrave. That's a smashing kilt, John.
It's the very latest model from the 1967 kilt show. It has three gears, a reverse, and independent suspension.
Has it? What's this in here?
That's the heater. Very handy it is to a day like this. It's also got automatic windows. Would you like to see how easily they come down?
Oh, no, thank you. No. I'll tell you one thing. If you take it on the continent, you'll have to wear your sporran on the left-hand side.
Let's go over to Naughty Ash University, where that eminent scholar and headcase, Kenneth Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Dodd, is waiting to verbosify for some erudite facts from the Encyclopedia of Doddy Oddities.
Yes, you'll have to excuse her. Poor Judith. She's come straight from the BBC's Christmas party, and she must have drunk at least two lime juices. Neat. Now for the Doddy Oddities. Did you know
that... Here we go. If you're making a Christmas cake, one of the nuts has just arrived.
Did you know that for the past 2 weeks, John Lorry has been sleeping under canvas? He's been going to bed with his wig on.
Why don't you go down to the dog's home and give yourself up?
Did you know that 9 out of 10 housewives think the Topol is a washing-up liquid?
Throw a net over him. He's not fit to be out.
And a final word of comfort, if you're upset about the brain drain, don't worry, because I'm not going anywhere. Instead, I'd like to tell you the life story of one of the greatest professional footballers who ever gestured at a referee. The one and only...
Fazakerly Carenot.
How did you know it's Fazakerly Carenot?
It's always Fazakerly Carenot, you big soft Nelly.
Look, you carry on, Kenneth, and don't take any notice. You can't help it.
I say.
Yes, Sybil?
When did he start his footballing career?
When? July the 6th, 1896. He signed on for one of the most famous teams in the 4th Division, the Backentry Diddlers. The transfer fee was the highest ever paid at that time.
How much was the transfer fee?
1 and 9 pence. It was the third round of the cup, and they were drawn at home to the Dagenham Girl Pipers. They'd just beaten Tottenham Hotspur 45-0 after extra time, sub judice, under floodlights, any to come,
put in the second area.
Sunshine! He likes me to ask him questions. Sunshine, did he ever play for England?
I'm glad you asked me that, Dusty. The greatest game... the greatest game he ever played was on July the 6th, 1896. England versus Tranmere Rovers at Birkenhead Stadium. 1 minute to go, no score, and the ball lands at the feet of Fazakerly Carenot.
What did he do?
He stubbed his cigarette out, put his hat on, and started off down the left wing towards the goal. Determination is written across his face and this side up across his shoulder blades. He starts his run towards the goal with the ball at his feet. He clenches his teeth in his hand. Once he almost loses control, but he remembers that a thousand's watching. He crosses the halfway line. He can see the goal yawning in front of him. It's been a long day. He draws back his lethal right foot and he kicks the ball with every last ounce in his strength. It speeds towards the top right-hand corner of the net like a bullet.
Goal!
No, it was half-time. All the others were in the dressing room. He was a bit hard of hearing, you see. And they can't touch a forest. They can't touch a forest.
Mine, now your love belongs to me. See, mine, winter, spring, or harvest time, mine, every day I say I'm proud that you are mine for time, cannot change my love for you. yours. I'll be yours my whole life through. Mine, mine forever. We will both grow young together. I'm so happy you are. Spring or harvest time, mine. Every day I say I'm proud that you are mine for time. Cannot change my love for you. Yours, I'll be yours my whole life through. So happy you are mine, mine, mine forever. We will both grow young together. I'm so happy you.
Life of every father when it's his duty to take his son to one side and explain one or two things to him, the facts of life. Now, for some fathers, this isn't easy. For instance, Andy Mann is finding it very difficult.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Cecil, Cecil, son.
Yes, Dad?
I'd like to have a little chat with you. Cecil, you know, Andy man to man, if you know what I mean.
Yes, Dad.
Touch of whimsy. You see, Cecil, there comes a time. What I mean is, oh, don't make this more difficult for me, Cecil. Put your Andy Pandy book down for a minute, will you, please? Listen to me.
I am listening, Dad. What do you want to tell me?
Well, I'll come straight to the point, Cecil. You weren't found under a gooseberry bush at all.
Oh, is that all? Well, I know that. Oh, Dad, I've known that for a long time.
You know, Cecil?
Well, I mean, you don't think I believe that one, do you? Mummy told me the truth ages ago.
Mummy?
Yes, a kind fairy brought me.
Yes, I see. A kind fairy brought you. No, Cecil, you see, Let me explain how you really did come to be here. Now, you see, it was... Do you know, it's been such a long time now, I've forgotten myself. Hang on, Cecil, I'll just have a word with your mother. Mummy. You remember when Cecil was... Go on. And then what happened?
Well, you know what happened.
And am I supposed to tell him that?
Tell me what, Dad?
Cecil, son, how old are you now?
37, Dad. Well, then, how did I get here?
37, yes. Well, you see, there was this kind fairy, you see, Cecil.
It's tough, it's brutal, it's the world of the professional wrestler. But what about the two wrestlers? How do they feel when they're actually fighting inside the ring?
Round one!
Hey, that's all. All right, Mick.
Yeah, I'm fine, Bert. Yeah, I like that hot shave lotion you've got on. What's it called, Bert?
It's called
Treat me tender. Ooh!
I thought it was, but I definitely like it.
Yeah, it's got a beautiful odor. They're showing this fight on the telly, you know, Mick.
Yeah, I know all about that, yeah. Try not to mess me hair up, will you?
Well, it suits you like that. How do you get it to stay in place like that?
Well, you see, what I do is, me like me wife, and she sort of sets it, see? She like sets it for me with green bow setting low.
Hurl me into that corner by that little dolly girl wearing the blue miniskirt.
I'm afraid I can't like see her.
Oh, just hurl me.
Right, okay.
Hello, darling. Yeah, you're lovely, you are. Yeah, see you after the fight, then. Not bad, is she, Mick?
Yeah, she's a little darling, she is. That's why I married her.
Here's a pearl sparkling. Oh, it's lovely. Just lying here, soaking in the bath.
Oh. Can anybody come in there?
Hey, you can't come in. I'm having a bath.
Oh, thank you.
No.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't realise.
Oh, hey, missus.
No, you see, I thought you said you can come in. I'm awfully sorry.
Do you mind, please?
I just wanted to rinse a few things through, you see.
No, will you get out of this bathroom?
There was anyone in. Of course, I'd have never come in if I'd have known. It must be so embarrassing for you.
Well, it is. Please, will you go out?
I mean, I know how I'd feel if I was in the bath and somebody came in. You're going all red.
Will you go out, please?
I mean, look at you lying there, me standing here making you feel all embarrassed. Well, that's not right, is it?
No, it isn't. Will you go, please?
I mean, when a man's in the bath, he wants a bit of privacy. I understand that as well as the next person. I mean, look at you. I mean, you don't know where to put yourself, do you? Oh, it must be terribly embarrassing for you.
Missus, I've never felt so embarrassed in all my life. Please go away.
Well, honestly, I don't know what to say. Elsie, come here a minute.
What is it, Mum?
Oh, look at this poor man here lying stretched out in the bath, all embarrassed.
I'm glad.
Well, I knocked on the door before I came in, didn't I, young man? Call Frieda and Nora as well.
No, please get out, Mum.
Comes a fine body of men we haven't met for some time. They're the world's worst. They just can't do a thing right. With his big red farmer's face, it's Giles Doddy, the world's worst farmer.
Hey, up there, my beauty. Now then, where's my little stool and me bucket? Hold still.
And now let's watch Charles Dodsbury. He must surely be the world's worst masseur.
Gosh. I'll give your head a good massage, sir. Do you know you're quite bald?
My head's up this end.
Just a minute, I've lost my place.
Have you?
I've been getting told off.
Will you?
Oh, by the way, that strange little voice you can hear belongs to a man who has a very important job with the BBC. He's the man who does the pips.
Yes, and he's 25 past 5 now.
His name is Lemuel. Lemuel Lozenge.
Yes.
Known to his friends as Lozzie.
Lozzie.
Unfortunately, Lozzie is always in some kind of trouble.
I've had me name taken, Miss Chalmers.
Oh, what happened this time, Lozzie?
Well, I've had me name taken. I was on my way to work this morning on my bike, and a policeman said... Come here, you. Come here, I'm blowing this balloon, your dunk. He said, you shouldn't be out when you dunk. Blowing this balloon. So I blew in the balloon.
And?
The policeman turned green. My name taken. Where's my shirt?
Well, You know, there are some doctors who make a living out of treating people with very unusual complaints, like this doctor.
There's a patient waiting to see you, Doctor.
Oh, yes, nurse. What's his trouble?
Well, he can't say pudding, and he can't say submarine.
Oh, the poor chap. Show him in once.
Doctor, you must help me.
Indeed I must, my man. Let me hear you say pudding and submarine.
Doctor, I can't
say... pull yourself together, man. Say pudding and submarine.
I'll try. Pubub and subub.
Pubub and subub? Pubub and subub? Good gracious me.
Doctor, please don't laugh at me.
But there aren't any bees in pudding. Drop the two bees. That's better. Now, try again. Pudding and submarine.
Pubub and subub. It's no use.
You're a man of your intelligence, and you can't say two simple words.
I'll never be able to say pudding and submarine. Oh, Doctor, thank you, thank you. Pudding and submarine. Oh, joy. Pudding and submarine.
Yet another success for you, Doctor.
Yes, nurse, poor fellow. Fancy not being able to say pubub and subub. Nurse, pubub, subub. Fetch a doctor, pubub and subub. Hello, pubub, subub.
In a back parlour, a shy, nervous young couple are sitting side by side on the settee.
Sydney.
Yes, Mo?
When you sit next to me on this sofa...
Yes, Mo?
Do you feel all sort of like funny and tickly?
Yes, Mo, I do.
Well, you know what it is, don't you, Sydney?
Yes, Mo, the spring sticking up through the cushion.
You know what your trouble is, don't you, Sydney?
What, Mo?
You're shy. You needn't be shy, not with me. I mean, if you wanted to. What I mean is, if you wanted to, I wouldn't... you know, Sydney.
Honest, Mo?
Honest.
Oh, I will, you know.
Go on then, Sydney.
OK, I will.
Where are you going?
Put the telly on. You said I...
Sydney, look, I've switched the light off. Look, put your arm round my waist, Sydney.
You're not half thin, Moo.
Sydney, that's the lampstand. I'm over this end.
I'm glad you put the light off, Moo. I wanted to show you something.
Ooh, Sydney! What is it?
Mo?
Yes?
Look.
What, Sydney?
Me luminous wristwatch, Mo. You can see all the numbers and the Mickey Mouse fingers.
I know I'll make the same mistakes again. They say you live and learn, but that's not really true. You'll break my heart and make me cry again. But I'll make the same mistake and hurry back to you. You're sorry now. My shoulders wet with tears. You say your love will last for years and years. But darling, we've been through all this before. So how can I believe in always anymore? That's not really true. You'll break my heart and make me cry again. But I'll make the same mistake and hurry back to you. know I'll make the same mistakes again. They say you live and learn, but that's not really true. You'll break my heart and make me cry again. And hurry back to you. I'll make the same mistake and hurry back to you.